Hi everyone, it is Sophia. Welcome to Life on Audio. So much anticipated Miami Art Week recap, although I don't know if anyone was anticipating it, but it was anticipated for me, okay? I was very excited to get on here and talk about it, and I was holding myself back throughout the week. To be fair, I didn't exactly have the time to record, but also I had my moments where I was like, ooh, it would be so fun to be able to get onto the podcast and tell you guys exactly what's going on, and I held myself back. But now, I don't have to hold myself back anymore because it's done and over with, and bittersweet. I will say that I am actually quite sad that it's over. That was like a really good week. I had a good time. I was really enjoying life, but so is life, and things come to an end, and it's exactly what happened here. Just a little like background on what in the world Miami Art Week is, although I made a TikTok, but like no one saw it. I feel like I'm sort of being TikTok shadow banned a little bit now, which is fun because for a good while I was like in a pretty good place, but now it's starting to, the views are starting to dwindle on some of my videos. I've been like pretty consistent with the views. It's like usually between the 3,000 and 10,000K range, but now it's, oh, did I say 10,000K? Guys. Anyways, point is, it's been pretty good, except now it hasn't been good. Okay, now it's like starting to, my latest video that I posted like hours ago is still at 800 views, which is bad. It's usually at least at 1,000 plus views at this point in the day, and it's not. So that's unfortunate. Yay me. I guess I also have to address like the TikTok ban at some point, but that's another topic. Maybe we'll talk about that at the end. Who knows? Depending on how long this episode is. Anyways, basically Miami Art Week is surrounding these art fairs. Most prominent is Art Basel, and that's what started this whole thing because they brought Art Basel to Miami in 2002, and ever since it's been a yearly occurrence, and it always happens at the beginning of December. At this point, there are a lot of satellite fairs that happen around the same time, like basically same week. So I think there's about probably like something like 10 to 15 art fairs going on at the same time. The most well-known are Art Basel, Untitled, and Nada. And then there is a very long list of other places, other fairs to go to. But it's not just about the art. Obviously, a lot of people who come are in the art world. They're art collectors, art advisors, artists. It's just the place to be at this point of the year. And if you are connected to the art world, you have to be in Miami because it's such a networking opportunity and also such an opportunity to find art, find new artists, find new galleries, find new people, the whole thing, right? So it's a big event for the art world, of course, but I think over the years, it's also become a big event just in general. And a lot of people come to Miami for Art Basel or for Miami Art Week, not necessarily for the art, but for the fact that there's so much else going on in the city. There's so many different events. There's DJs come and like I think John Summit was here, which I was a little sad that I missed because I've been wanting to see him live, but I haven't gotten to see him live. And yet again, he was in Miami and I totally missed him. But all the clubs have things and they're big artists that like play at the clubs during this week, and there are these like debuts and performances. There's just so much going on. Like literally everything is going on at the same time, and it's such a busy, crazy week. But the funny thing is, as someone who grew up in Miami and ironically actually went to high school right across the street from Art Basel, I never really knew what Art Basel or Miami Art Week was until honestly like a year ago. I do remember like hearing about it. I remember hearing about people at school going and thinking that like, oh, that's a really cool thing to do. Like all the cool people would go to Art Basel, and I was like, my gosh, like you have to be so cool to go there. So I remember when I went for the first time last year, I went to Art Basel for the first time last year. I was like, wow, I'm finally cool. Like, you know, kind of thing, like finally living out that like high school version of me's dream life kind of thing. But I still didn't even understand what all of this was last year. Like I didn't realize that there were so many other art fairs going on. I just thought it was Art Basel and that was it. And that was what everyone came for, but nope, I was wrong. And lo and behold, a year later, which is so funny because I could have never anticipated it a year ago or even have thought about the concept of working in the art world. I didn't even understand that the art world existed. I just didn't know. I got to work at one of the satellite fairs. It's called Untitled. And yeah, I was working for an art gallery that's based in New York during the week and helping them. And it was just such an amazing experience. First off, I was employed for the first time in a really long time. I know it was just a week, but okay, I had my moment. I got to have an employment moment. And that's important because it was sort of, it gave me like a trial run for the industry because this is my first breakthrough role and also just working in general post-grad. And turns out I really loved it. I really love working. I'm actually quite sad that I am unemployed again. I was really hoping something more permanent would come out of it, but nothing so far. So I'm just back on the job search grind. I've given myself a couple of days, so I haven't actually really been applying to stuff, but I will be back on the job search grind when I finally find it within me to do it all over again, because I just, oh my God, I don't want to. I just want to work. I just want a job, guys. Like, I just want a job. Anyways, so there was that, but also, yeah, just like being able to try out what it is like to work kind of like a full-time job for a week, if that makes sense. So basically the first 2 days were installation days, and December 1st was the first day that we could install. So I went in, I had to be there at 11. I met the gallery owner. We got registered. We got these badges that we had to wear throughout the week. And it felt so official. Like, I felt so cool when I got my badge because it said my name and the gallery that I was working at and then exhibitor. And I was like, oh my gosh, me an exhibitor, like what in the world? And I loved my little badge. I still have it, but I just loved her so much. Maybe I'll just like wear it around to feel something, because that just like made me feel like everything was coming into place for a split second there. Anyways, registered, and then we got to work. It was me and the gallery owner, and then also one of the artists was there. So we were all working together to install. And of course, because this was my first experience with any of this, I wasn't totally sure what to do. So I was just kind of following their instructions whenever they needed me. But I feel like I took a little bit of a backseat approach when it came to installation, because there's a whole strategy and process to it, and I obviously was not well versed in that. Like, at some point they were like doing measurements and they were like, oh, Sophia, do you understand? And I was like, no, like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. And then they were trying to explain it to me and it was just like flying over my head. I was like, wait, okay, hold on, I'm like, I haven't done math in such a long time. I'm trying to figure out like the inches and all that. But yeah, I did help as much as possible, and it ended up being a long day, as in like there was just so much to do. Like, we had to set up the entire booth, get all the paintings up, get everything ready. And we did have a nice little lunch break in between. And the gallery owner actually took us all out to lunch, which was really nice. I was able to kind of like share a little bit more about myself and learn a little bit more about them. I mean, I spent the entire week with the gallery owner, essentially. So we got to know each other quite well, like very, very well by the end of the week. And the artist was there also for a couple of days, so I got to know them decently well as well. And I actually am going to be seeing them in a couple of days again. So the relationship doesn't end, or didn't end there. But anyways, we had lunch and I actually was just like telling them a little bit about myself. And then we got back and we got the paintings up. And because it was 2 days of installation, I was under the impression that I was going to have to go in every single day from December 1st to December 8th. That was just how it was set. I didn't know what my hours were going to be, but that was kind of like the expectation. But we ended up finishing the booth by like, I think we got out around 6 to 7 p.m. on that Sunday, December 1st. So we actually didn't have to come back the second day for installation, which was really nice and clutch for me, because that gave me a little day off and also like a little transition period into the actual fair. Because once the fair started, it was just crazy madness. Like, it was just like bus, club, other club, like just no sleep kind of thing. Like, it was just continuous on and on and on until the very end. So yeah, at least that gave me like, I got to like breathe for a hot second before it got really crazy. But yeah, I left and I was so exhausted and drained. Like, that really took me out. It was a lot of, the funny thing about art is like, there's a lot of manual labor involved. If you're working like at an art gallery, like you've got to get the paintings up and you got to move things around. And there is a lot of manual labor. And I never thought that I would like work a job where there is any amount of manual labor, but I didn't hate it. It just like definitely took me out a little bit. So when I came back, I was just like so exhausted. And honestly, that was pretty much every day that I worked. Like, I would come back home so dead inside, but it also felt so rewarding. Like, the first day I came home and I was like hanging on by a thread, but I was so happy. I was like, my gosh, I love it. Like, this is so fun. And all we were doing was installation, and yet I was just so happy to be doing something. Like, that's kind of where I'm at in terms of being chronically unemployed. Like, I just want a job. I just want to do something. Like, I would literally work like 6 days a week, 10 hours each day. I just want to work. That's all I want in life right now. Like, seriously. Anyways, did that, and then I had this day off, and so I kind of did like a little makeover. Not really planned, but actually ended up cutting my hair. So I cut my hair 4 days prior, because because it was starting to get long and I want to keep it short. I am the latest victim of cutting your hair short and then never wanting to grow it out again. So my hair was getting awfully long. And so I asked my mom to cut it and she did, but I wanted it over the shoulder. She kept it longer than that. And she was like, oh, like if you still want it shorter, I'll cut it more in a week from now. And I was like, okay. But I already knew like it was not at the length that I wanted it to be. So my dad, that's where my eye mask is. Why is it across the room from me? What in the world? Okay, anyway, so my dad was home on my hair wash day and I was like, I just want it cut. And so I asked him if he could cut my hair. And the thing about my dad is before my mom lost her hair, he would actually like for, I don't know how long they were doing this for, but maybe for a couple of years or so, they were like cutting, they cut each other's hair. So like my mom will cut my dad's hair and my dad would cut my mom's hair. So I was under the impression that my dad was very capable of cutting hair, like women's hair, because the thing is there was never like an issue. Like there's a reason why he kept cutting her hair because it always turned out decent, you know, it was like a solid cut. And so I thought he had a whole process the way my mom does, like, you know, like obviously my mom's not a professional hairdresser, but like she does a good job. Like the process feels a little bit legit. My dad starts working on my hair and I am like near panic attack. I'm like, uh-oh, what is this man doing? He's like cutting in all sorts of directions and snippets here and snippets there. And I'm like, this is not going to turn out good. He definitely cut it more than I think I asked him to, but I'm actually happy because I really do like the length. But there was a lot of snipping and a lot of hair falling. And I had to really trust the process on that one because I did not know how it was going to come out, but it came out good and I really liked it. So my hair is finally at a length that I like really like it at. I think for a second it was like, whoa, this is short. Like this is short. I was like, okay, I'm definitely not cutting it more. But now that it's been a week, I'm kind of looking at my hair and I'm like, it's still kind of long, which is not good. In our like extended family group chat with my Indian family, my grandmother typed in there and she was like, please grow your hair, Sophia. And my mom was like, agreed. And I was like, you guys, I'm not growing it out anytime soon. I'm really enjoying this short hair. It gives me this like newfound confidence, like confidence I don't necessarily need, but there's just, I don't know. I just love it. Okay. I'm very much for the short hair. There's a reason why I keep like, no, I'm very much for the short hair. It's like, it's almost like an ego boost, but I can't exactly explain why. I think it's probably because I never thought I would do it. And everyone kept telling me it was going to look bad. And you see, like, everyone doesn't want me to have my short hair, but it's like, I'm doing this for myself. It's kind of like I'm rebelling with the short hair, but like, I also love it. Like, it makes me happy. And then I also got my nails done. I got red nails. The story about the red nails is, well, does anyone remember the red nail theory? Yeah, I think I partially was thinking about that, but also because this time last year, I got red nails for the very first time. I rarely get my nails done. I get them like biannually at most. It's usually just special occasions like graduation, you know, special occasions kind of thing, right? So that doesn't happen too often. But this time last year, I was set to go on a date. It was like my first date in a couple of months. And I don't know why, but I think I was like a little doubtful as to whether this man was going to show up or not. And I basically decided that in order to make the night worth it, in the case that he didn't show up, I would plan something before our dinner so that if he didn't show up, at least I had like accomplished something. Like I had gone and done something for myself. And so it didn't feel like a night wasted. So I decided to go get my nails done before this date. And I guess the red nail theory was like trending at the time. And I was like, you know what? Let's try it. Because I always get like just like nudish pink. Like I'm very plain with the like just like a little light pink or like a little like nudish neutral something, like never anything else. So red nails was kind of out there for me, but I was like, no, like I'm gonna try it. And I did, and I really loved it. And so I actually had red nails at Art Basel last year, so it felt very fitting and just like full circle. And so I got red nails again. I'm looking at them right now. They're starting to grow out a little bit, but I do really love them. And every time I like get my nails done, then I'm like, maybe I'll go back and get my nails done again. But I have never gotten into the routine of like consistently going. Like at most I've done like 2 nail appointments back to back. I did that once, I think, where I went, like I had it for one occasion first, and then I was hanging out with a friend and we decided, oh, let's go get our nails done. And I'd just taken off the nails that I had before or something like that. But why did I get it done in the first place? I don't know. Anyways, point is that's like the only time I ever got like back-to-back nails. Besides that, I usually, it's like I do it once and then I don't do it again for another like 6 months. Anyway, so nice little makeover. So I was set and ready for the next day. And then first day, which was Tuesday, December 3rd, was the VIP preview day. So all these art fairs have a VIP preview day, which is usually the first day. Art Basel actually has two of those. And that's kind of for people who buy like a VIP ticket. Or what I learned is if you're in the art world, you probably know someone who's working at the fair and then they can give you like a VIP ticket for free. So actually, I ended up being able to go to some of the other fairs. I wasn't sure whether I was going to be able to do that, but I really wanted to because I was like, okay, I love working the fair, but I also really want to go see the art myself. And I ended up going to all of the fairs for free because I ended up just getting like a VIP ticket that someone else had. So anyways, first day I had to be there before 10. And yeah, I kind of, to me, VIP preview day was like the real deal because I was like, okay, if someone's coming and they bought like a VIP ticket, they're probably serious also about thinking about buying a piece or pieces. So I kind of was like, this is it. Like if there's ever going to be a day where people are buying things, it's going to be today. So started. Okay. First day was also, I was feeling quite sleep deprived. I kind of did that to myself because I could have easily gone to bed like earlier, but I don't know. I just didn't. And so I was definitely from like hour two onwards, I was so overstimulated and exhausted and kind of like a zombie moving around. Also at first, because like we had this whole kind of pitch, you know, people want to know about the art and the story behind it and the artists. And I had been studying up the material for the past week, but obviously I was like, do I even know anything? Like, I don't know. Do I have a story to share? And so at first, every time someone would come up, I would just let the gallery owner go talk to them. But then eventually she was like kind of waving at me and she's like, you should go. And so I was like, all right, we're throwing ourselves into the deep end and going for it. And it was nice being able to watch her do her pitch as well, because it helped me sort of refine mine and add elements that she had used in her like description, or also just learn about the paintings more. Because I feel like when I was studying the material, it was more about like the artists and their process rather than the individual paintings. And obviously sometimes someone would be really interested in a specific painting and they'd be like, huh, like what's going on here? And I would try and find like elements within the painting that I could really like describe. Like there was one painting where there was like a reddish area, which I only learned after I was hearing the gallery owner's pitch for a while. There was this reddish area that basically like represented when light gets shined through a breast implant. And whenever I would point that out, people would really be like taken back and be like, oh my God, wait, I didn't even think that, you know, like I would have never expected that. And I was like, yeah. And so that was an interesting element to point out, but it wasn't until like a couple of days in that I really started pointing that out just to like get people interested. So anyways, I was like listening to her pitch and refining mine over time. So by like day three, I had the pitch down. Like I knew exactly what to say. I was like just like rattling it off. But the first day specifically was still like trying to figure out how to like do the whole thing, right? Like it's my first time just like approaching people and like being like, hi, like let me tell you about the art, even though you didn't necessarily ask. Especially because with our gallery, the gallery owner had this very specific strategy where it's like if someone were to come up to the booth and start looking at a painting and they were like looking at it for like more than like a couple of seconds, then we would approach them and start talking instead of like waiting for them to come to us, which I feel like is generally what a lot of galleries do. Like I was looking around and all the galleries around us, like they weren't necessarily like pouncing on people and like telling them the story. People would usually come to them, but also a lot of them were more established galleries where I think the people that were coming to the fair at least knew who they were. So yeah, definitely. I think like first couple of days, there were definitely a lot more people in the art world that were coming by, like art advisors and artists and stuff like that. But I think over time, because after the first day was public day, so that means that anyone who wants to buy a ticket can. Tickets are like $65 or something like that. I can't remember, $60. So if you want to buy a $60 ticket and see the art, you can. And I think a lot of people just like come to stroll and be there rather than to be like super interested in the art or consider buying the art. It's not impossible, but it's not like the most likely thing. So anyways, day one, I got out after 7. We actually sold a painting within, I think, the first hour or two. There was someone who came by. He looked at like the paintings, and he was like, oh, I really like this one. And then he left, and it seemed he left his information with us, and he was kind of like, yeah, maybe. But obviously it was like, oh, we're probably gonna just have to follow up, like, who knows whether he'll actually buy. And then he came back and he was like, okay, my wife and I really like this, we want to buy it. There was a little bit of a negotiation that happened, so I kind of watched that happen, and then it was sold. And so throughout the week I saw the process of the painting being packaged and it getting ready to be sent out, and then it actually being sent out. But that was basically the main painting that got, because it was also like a local client, like they also lived in Miami, so it had to get out before the fair ended, since the gallery is based in New York, and obviously they didn't want to ship it from New York to Miami. So there was that. I don't know if there was anything particularly notable besides that. I basically was on my feet the entire day. So when I came home, I was just like, my body was just like crumbling. Oh, wait, I didn't come home. That's the thing. Hold on. I was like, oh yeah, I just came home after. No, I didn't. So obviously with Art Basel and like Miami Art Week, there's so much else going on. And I knew, even though I was so exhausted and I just wanted to climb into bed by the end of it, I knew that I would be wasting my time if I didn't go to anything else. And so I kind of poked around and asked the artist at our booth and also the gallery owner what their plan was for the night. And there were some museum openings that were happening and they were planning to go to that, and they invited me with. So I was like, okay, I'll go. So I did. So we basically hopped into a car. Traffic is horrible during Miami Art Week. Like, it is literally the worst thing ever. So we sat in the car for over probably an hour or so for like what should have been a 20-minute drive. We went to this museum opening. I actually hadn't been to this museum since I was in middle school. When I was in middle school, I took art lessons and like at school, like I did art as an elective, and they would take us there as like a field trip. So anyways, it had been a while, but it was just so packed and crazy, and I was so overstimulated. So I told myself that I would come back after Miami Art Week was over. I was actually hoping to go this week, but I don't think that's happening. I think I'm gonna have to wait until next week, or maybe even the new year. It might actually be the new year, because I just don't see myself going anytime soon. But yeah, anyways, that's what happened there. And then after, we went to dinner all together, the three of us. And again, just like really getting to know them. And I feel like it was kind of this weird relationship where it was like, yes, I'm working for you, but also we're getting to know each other on a very personal level, which is not what usually happens in like a work relationship, especially when there's like someone who's like more senior to the other person. But here we were. And I feel like that's partially the art world, where it's like there isn't always that corporate structure that people are used to, like where it's like manager and then like yes, that does happen, but also in some cases that's not always the situation. I don't know. I feel like people get really close if they work together. It's very easy for people to get super close on a personal level in the art world. And then I went home and basically fell asleep and had to wake up the next morning again to be there at this time 11. So first public day. Basically at this point, it was still exciting the first couple of days. Like, I really loved what I was doing, but there were also moments where I was like, this is so draining and mind numbing, because basically it was like from there on out, every day you were there from 11 to 7. People basically are walking by. Sometimes people come to the booth and are looking at the art. Then you start talking to them. Sometimes, you know, you would end up actually having a pretty interesting conversation with someone. It dug a little deeper than just explaining the art, but maybe like talking about like, oh, what do you do? What do you do? Like, I definitely got to talk to people where I was like, oh, this is actually like, you know, people would be like, oh, like, are you working with a gallery? And I was like, actually just working with them for the week, but I'm trying to get into the art world. And it was nice because sometimes I got to have conversations with people where they actually like then ended up like, it ended up being like a networking opportunity. Oh, something that I forgot to note for the first day. So, okay, actually I forgot to note a couple things. First off, I think pretty early on, I was like, I really enjoyed what I was doing, but I also kind of was like, I wish that I just had like the liberty to like go to these art fairs and just like see them freely instead of just working at this booth, because I felt like the opportunity to network wasn't really there. And I also feel like the gallery owner wasn't exactly like making an effort to introduce me to people that she was talking to. Like, obviously she knew quite a few people in the art world, and other people working at other galleries would come by and like talk to her and be like, oh, hi. And you know, they'd have a whole conversation. But I'd usually just like stand in the background. And I was like, ugh, like if only I could like walk around and talk to the people at these booths, like maybe then something would come out of that, right? And because we hadn't set my hours, I had no clue whether I was going to have any time to myself to be able to see the fairs, because the thing is, like, all the other fairs were at the same time, right? So like when we opened, they were opening, and when we closed, they were closing. So like if I was working the entire day, then I wouldn't be able to go somewhere else. I wouldn't be able to see another art fair. And I was really hoping I would have the opportunity. There was a specifically one that I really want to go to, because it was like, this is another really good art fair, and I just like, I need to see it. Also, selfishly, my favorite Miami gallery is there, and I really like the guy who works at this gallery. He's an interesting figure, and I've seen him 3 times, but I'd seen him like 2 times prior to art week, and I don't know, he just like, he was super cool and he was like nice to talk to, which I feel like can be hit or miss in the art world. And so selfishly, I wanted to go see the booth and see him and just like let him know that I showed up for that, because I feel like that's another important thing. Like, showing up is just ultimately can be a long-term investment into your future. Like, if you keep showing up at a gallery, they might take notice. And if they know that you're interested in working in the art world at some point, you know, if something were to open up, they might consider you for it. Like, that could very much be something that happens. So I wanted to show up for that gallery just so they know that I'm still here and I'm still interested. And, you know, if they ever have anything. So that's why I was hoping to go. And also just to see like if there were other Miami galleries or just galleries that I could talk to. So I was getting a little concerned, like on the first day. I don't really have a lot of patience. So first day I was already like, wait, what if I'm working every single day, like full hours, and I don't get to see any of the other fairs? So I did express interest in that to my boss, and she was like, yeah, like I also want to go see the other fair. So I kind of thought, okay, maybe we can actually like work something out here. But she did at some point on the first day let me like walk around a little. She was like, oh, you can go walk. And the thing is, it's such a big fair, so I actually had to do it in sections, because I started and I was like, okay, I'm gonna go see the whole fair now. But it's like, if you're trying to also talk to people and have conversations, that buys time. So at some point I was like, wow, I've been gone for a while, I feel bad. And so I came back, and I think she kind of was like, oh, like, wow, you were gone for a long time. And I was like, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to do that, and I only got like this itty bitty section done, like I'm gonna have to do more. And I was like, what if I don't have time to do more? So I was definitely a little concerned that I was only going to be working and I wouldn't be able to see the other art fairs or even my own art fair, when I knew that that would be a really amazing experience as well. Like, I was like, I need the balance of being able to work, because obviously the experience is great, but also when it comes to networking, the best way to do that is if I start going around and talking to people. So day two was 11 to 7. At this point, okay, each day was a little different, but like in terms of like full on days, it was kind of the same routine. Get there, just get everything set up, and then the fair opens up, and basically for like what, 7-8 hours, people are just walking around looking at the art. Sometimes people come up and they express interest. On the second day, there were still like quite a few people in the art world coming by. So what I found for our booth specifically was that in the mornings, people tend to be more engaged with our work. So we'd have those conversations, we'd get contacts, we'd have people asking about prices or expressing interest in the work. And then pretty much by the time lunchtime hit, which wasn't long after the fair opened, because the fair opened at 11, so like say 1, things started to die down, and then we were mainly just kind of like sitting there waiting for something to happen. So for that, I would say it was a bit of a mind-numbing situation, because there were moments where you were just sitting there for a really long period of time and no one was like engaging with the booth or the art, and there was no one to talk to, and you had to kind of figure out like, but you were also just like sitting there kind of like on patrol, like waiting for someone to come by and like express interest kind of thing. So there was a lot of that. There was a lot of, first day I was on my feet the entire day. I did not sit down once. After that, I realized like, okay, I'm going to just sit. And when someone comes by and it seems like they're really like looking, then I'll stand up and I'll start talking. And obviously we were kind of training off. There were moments where it was like one person would come and like one of us would go to them, and then another person would come within like a couple of seconds. And so then the other person would go. So that was kind of nice, because we could like tag team it. But for the most part, it was just a lot of like up and down and up and down, but then also a lot of just like sitting and waiting for something to happen. Another thing about what I was doing was it's like 25% glorified assistant in a way. So there were also moments where I was kind of just like running errands, getting my boss lunch, getting her coffee, or like sometimes I had to go to like exhibitor monitor services and like ask them a question. So because of that, I got to get out most days to like A, get lunch for myself and B, get stuff for her. She like rarely left. Like when she was there, she was there. So yeah, I honestly, it's funny. I kind of enjoyed being glorified intern. Like it was nice to be able to get out and to like go somewhere. I got to like have a nice little walk and pick up food for her and then come back. So there was that. But yeah, the other thing I noticed is that like, especially as the days were going by, the hours felt so long. It felt like never ending truly. Like sometimes I would think that because I would have my phone on me, sometimes I would think that maybe like 10 minutes passed by and I would check my phone and like 2 minutes had passed by. The time went by so slowly when nothing was happening. Those days felt so long. And again, every day I came back home and I was just so drained and exhausted, and having to come back home to my family was a little bit of a struggle because of course everyone wanted to talk and be like, oh, how was your day? And I just didn't want to engage with anyone. I wanted to have my dinner in peace and just like move on. First night I was really struggling. Not first night, second night. First night I came home after dinner, so that was fine. But second night I came home and I was like on my wit's end. Like I was like, and then I had food left over from the day before when we all went to dinner and I was so excited to eat it. It was this fried rice. I was like, I'm so excited to have my fried rice. I come home, it's not there. I was like, this is my 13th reason. I was like, this is my last straw, but it's okay. We made it through. Okay. We made it through, but definitely made me realize that like, I think if I were to be working long-term and I were to have a demanding job and I'd be out for like 8 hours of the day, 9 hours of the day, coming home would just not really be my cup of tea. Like, I just don't know if I could manage living at home and working, right? Like maybe it would be feasible. I think as time went by, I kind of was able to work around it and find something that worked for me, but it wouldn't be my favorite thing. That's for sure. Day three was Thursday. So Thursday was actually different for me because I was given time to go to that art fair that I really want to go to. It's called Nada. And I felt like I kind of screwed up a little with that because basically the art fair opened at 11 and my mom was going to work around that time. And I thought, okay, I will commute with my mom and then I will take the metro to this place, right? But then traffic ended up being bad, shocker. So I got a really late start onto like getting onto public transportation. Then public transportation takes a hot second too. And I went in the wrong direction at some point, the whole thing. So I basically lost an hour and I felt really bad because I was like, my boss is like, she's there by herself. And I just like left her alone. And like, even though she was like, yeah, go and enjoy, I kind of was like, I'm taking way too long. So I sort of rushed through Nada and I was like on an anxiety high the entire time. Like I was texting her and I'm like, I'm so sorry, like traffic was bad, it's gonna take me a while. And she was like, really? Like it's that bad? And I was just like, yes, I'm sorry. Like I was like, I will come back now, like I won't even go to the fair, I'll just come back now. And she was like, no, like enjoy. But I felt like I had to be there. I felt like I had screwed up in that moment. But luckily I got very lucky where my boss was just so nice and understanding. And that was like a really fortunate situation because I know that in the art world, sometimes, especially with like gallery owners, like they have a very particular way and sometimes it's not a good fit and all that. And I feel like I've heard some horror stories in the past. So I, of course, was not sure what our relationship would be, but we had a really good relationship. I cannot complain, but that morning kind of took me out. But anyways, I did get to walk through the fair and I got to talk to some people. Let's go back to day two. Day two, I actually, because it was so slow in the afternoon, I managed to get through the entire fair. So I got to walk around, I talked to various different galleries and, you know, got to share my path and stuff like that. Definitely made some connections, definitely met some people. So that was nice. That was good. Okay. That was very good. But obviously, as of yet, none of them have like formulated into something bigger. But the thing about the art world, it really is about connections. And since I'm not a Nepo baby in that sense, I have to make my own connection. So this was a really great opportunity to do so. And I feel like I have a solid book of people that I could reach out to. I feel like the entire week was kind of like me networking and then the following day, like me getting onto my email and like sending out a bunch of emails with my resume and stuff like that. So we'll see what that does. I don't know if it'll actually do anything, but point is at some point I can follow up on certain things. So anyways, did see the gallery, my favorite Miami gallery, and I did see the guy, but unfortunately he was talking to someone else when I was there and they were talking for a while. So I was like, okay, at least he saw me. We got a little cheek kiss in. I like looked at the art and then I walked away and I was like, okay, I'm not going to get a conversation with him, but that's fine. He'll see me again. He'll see me again until he gives me a job. So yeah, I did that. And then I Ubered over to work, but before I got to work, I got coffee for us. And then basically it was again 5-6 hours of just basically sitting there and engaging with people. And I think at this point I was starting to get a little mind numbing where I was like, okay, we're having large stretches of time where there's nothing. And then I'm trying to remember now. I think maybe if I remember correctly, that day my boss ended up leaving early. So she left at 5 to go to Art Basel. Yeah, I think that's what happened. So I was on my own for the last 2 hours, which was nice because it gave me a little bit of freedom to like kind of approach things my own way. But it was also super slow. It's not like a lot was happening. And then following day, she came in late because she went to NADA. So, and I felt a little less bad at that point because she ended up coming in like around the same time that I got in when I went to NADA. So I was like, okay, see, like it was a similar timing and you got like a head start because you were actually there probably when they opened. And then Friday was just Friday. It was funny because at the very end, she was like, oh, I would have like let you go early because it was so slow. But we have like a painting that needs to be like taken out because it's getting sent to the client tomorrow. So I had to stay on, but that's fine. Like I didn't mind staying on. I honestly, it was kind of interesting like being there because first off, you get to people watch. But second off, at some point I kind of got it in my head where I was like, well, I'd already thought this beforehand, but then I started to really get it in my head where I was like, this honestly would be the perfect place to meet someone. Do you know how easy that would have been? Someone just thinks I'm cute, or like, you know, someone sees me and then they like start looking at the art, and then I go up to them and I start telling them about the art, and then the conversation kind of flows into like, oh, where are you from? Like that could have been such an easy way to meet someone. It would have been so natural for me because I wouldn't even have been thinking like, oh, where is this going to go? Because I was just like doing my job, right? Sad to say, it didn't happen. I did not meet one singular person. There was one sort of singular person, but I'll explain that in a second because that was like a little, that was not exactly the same thing as I was thinking, but I guess I can't really like knock that either. I can't feel like that didn't happen at all because I guess it did happen. But yeah, there was just no one. And it was funny because I think at some point I texted Christine. I was like, oh, like this would be such a good place to meet someone, but like it's not happening. She was like, well, are you even seeing people that you'd be interested in? And I was like, no, that's the thing. Not really. Because honestly, it is like, especially the first couple of days, it was definitely an older crowd. You know, think art collectors, they're most likely going to be an older crowd. Or like if it was like someone who was younger and it was a guy, they were usually like in a couple. So it's kind of rare to see like younger guys just on their own. And especially like the ones that I was interested in, I feel like I saw like probably a handful of guys where I was like, ooh, but you know, nothing happened. So that was that. But I also, funny enough, at some point realized that I was kind of at the epicenter of where everyone would be that weekend. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. There is definitely a chance that I run into an X-Fling. I only have three, I guess, ish. One of them really doesn't count, but okay. I have like 2 ex-Miami flings, so not a lot. It's not like I really dated much in Miami and I like have to be concerned that like someone's gonna run into me or like I'm gonna run into someone. But I was thinking about them and I was like, it's not unlikely that they would be here because again, it's sort of the epicenter of like where everyone is. And who knows, maybe they just decided they wanted to go to an art fair. One of them in specific, it wouldn't shock me. It wouldn't have shocked me if he had, well, although I don't know, because this was the guy that I was like seeing this time last year, and I don't think he went to any of the art stuff. At least we never talked about it. But he was interested in art. He was very knowledgeable about art, actually, but I don't think he went to any of the fairs. So I guess that wouldn't have been true. But like, who knows? Like, who knows? Maybe this was the year they decided that like they wanted to go to the fairs and I was there. But no, I actually didn't run into them. So I think really like on that matter, that just like really confirmed that I was never made to run into them. Cause I was like, this is the one place where like there's a good chance that I could run into them. Other than that, you know, we're not really like finding ourselves in the same spot. So like, I doubt it. But when it comes to this one, I can't completely doubt it. But yeah, didn't meet anyone. I definitely was thinking about it. And actually, so here's the thing. As you guys know, I had a little bit of a disruption in my love life where all of a sudden there were men. And I was like, whoa, what's going on? I was not expecting that. But then I kind of decided to embrace it. And then I came out of it and I was still thinking about, oh, like, imagine having someone in your life. And I was like, what in the world? Because I was so good at like not wanting that for so long. And now all of a sudden I want it. And it was like, huh, strange. But I kept telling myself that the reason why I was feeling that way was not because I was like longing for love or longing for someone in my life, but rather because I was bored. I was like, I think I'm just bored with life. And like, that seems like a fun distraction. And so I thought, well, surely if I am doing something with my life, like if I have a job and, you know, all that, like I won't want someone. And here I was, not on this day specifically, but then following day, day 5, 6, I don't even know anymore what day we're on. I was starting to really like, I was just sitting there and I was like, oh, like it would be really nice to have someone in my life. Like, I think I have to admit to myself that I am looking for love, because I've been sort of like trying to shy away from that because I'm like, no, but not honestly, maybe yes. So I decided that Saturday was my declaration, where I told Christine and then I actually told one of my other friends too. And I kind of was like, think I'm looking for love. But the thing is, I said that and then it's like, am I actually looking for love? I don't know. I feel like I'm not really, you know, because then I was like, okay, but I want to like meet someone organically. And it's like, how is that going to happen? That's why I think I was like holding out hope for this, because I was like, if I were to ever meet someone, like I don't leave my house otherwise. So where else am I going to meet someone? This is the one time that I'm like out and about. I'm looking good. I'm in my natural state. Like if I could meet someone, this would be the place to meet someone. But no. So now I'm kind of back to like, well, yeah, I mean, it would be nice, but like, where am I going to find it? Nowhere. So, and I have thought about like, maybe I try, because I never tried really organic dating. I kind of was like, whatever comes to me, I'll like take it. But like, I'm not going to like put myself out there. But I was like, maybe it is worth trying. But like, I think I go back and forth where I was like, for a while, I was like, 2025 is going to be my like absolute no man era. Like no dating whatsoever. No, nothing. No engaging with anyone. Like I'm just putting my head down, focusing on myself, focusing on my career, the whole thing. Any man, like it's just not happening. Like it's going to be a hard no. But then also I'm like, maybe I should actually like really give dating a try, like organic dating a try in 2025, and like put myself out there and like put myself in places where I would potentially meet someone instead of just like waiting for something to happen. But I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, we still have some time. We've got a couple of weeks. And also like I can go into it and choose one thing and then like always pivot. But I also don't really see myself like putting in the effort for organic dating just yet, because I'm just like, I don't know. Like, I don't even know if that's what I really want or whether I'm still kind of like, it would be nice, but I also just don't see it. Anyways, day whatever, Saturday, kind of same thing. At this point, we were really in a routine. Nothing super interesting except, oh, okay, yeah. So what happened was at some point in the day, some guy comes up to the booth and the gallery owner starts talking to him. And I can tell that he's German, heavy German accent. I just know. And curiosity got the best of me, because I had already talked to, like, for example, on one of the days that I was like looking around the fair, there was a German gallery and I started talking to a woman there. And one thing I learned this week is that Germans like to talk a lot. I always thought it was just my mother. No, all the Germans I met this week just could not stop talking. Love that though, because I can't stop talking. So maybe that's the German gene. But anyways, so yeah, I talked to her for quite a while. And she was very nice. She was very sweet. But I was curious. Okay, so like I'm standing there kind of like a little away from them, but I'm sort of listening to conversation. And at some point there was like a gap of silence after they had talked for a good while. Okay. And I decided to ask, and I was like, oh, like where in Germany are you from? And he like tells me, and then he's like trying to explain it. And he's like, oh, you wouldn't know where it is, blah, 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 which I actually didn't know where it was because it was in North Germany and I don't know anything about North Germany. And then I was like, oh, my mom's German. And so then I think that really like spiked his interest. And then we started talking back and forth and he was telling me what he does and blah, blah, and he works at Lufthansa, which shocker. Of course he works at Lufthansa. He lives in Miami, but like he works at Lufthansa, like whole thing. And then like after us talking for a good while, I don't know how long, but for a good while, he's like, can I have your Instagram? And first off, this man was probably like in his 30s. That's the first thing to know. And the second thing to know was I particularly interested in him? No. Like had we had a good conversation? Yes. But like, you know, I was like, okay, we're two very different people. Like I just don't really see this being a thing. But when he asked for my Instagram, I just like didn't really say know, I was kind of like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. So I gave it to him and he was like, I'll write you. And I was like, okay, what? Like, I don't know what that means. He did write me. Anyways, so there was that interaction. That was the extent of it. And that was kind of like, again, it was like all good until he asked for my Instagram. Then I felt a little strange. It was like, oh, I was like, also, I'm like fully at work. this is my job. That's when I realized that actually it wouldn't make any sense for someone to come hit on me while I'm working. That would have always been strange, no matter who it was. Like, yeah, maybe if it had been someone I was like truly interested in, we could have like laughed about it later on. But like in the moment, it would have already been strange because like the gallery owner was standing. I actually thought she saw this whole interaction go down. But then when I asked her or when I told her about it, she was like, oh, really? But yeah, she was just standing like a couple feet away. And I was like, that's someone who's employed me. Like, maybe don't ask for my Instagram while I'm working. Anyways, there was that. And then again, it was a very slow day, like not much really happening with the artwork. And so I was actually allowed to leave early around like 4-ish. She was like, honestly, you can leave. And I was like, really? And she was like, yeah. And I, for a hot second there, was like, maybe I should just stay because who knows, maybe I'll miss my future husband. But I was like, that's so silly. Like, what? I was like, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. And I'm not sticking around to see whether it's meant to be. Like, we'll find each other some other way, I guess. So anyways, I actually was not, oh, I forgot Friday. Guys, on Friday after work, I was like, wait, I don't want to go home just yet. And so I was like, I really want to go to a bar, which obviously, do I have any reason to be at a bar? No, because I don't drink. But this was just something that I'd been wanting to do for a good while. And I thought, might as well. And so I start walking without a plan, like away from this tent that I was working in for the week. And I was like, where should I go? And so I think I was initially going to try and go to this hotel because there was an installation there that one of the galleries had told me about. They were like, oh, this artist is also, there's an installation at this hotel. You should go check it out. And it was like a 17 minute walk. So I was like, solid. I'll just do like a little walk and see it and go from there. But then I was like, let me just like see if I can find a bar nearby. And I realized that there was a piano bar pretty close to me and they had live music. And I was like, ooh, I love live music. Like, let's go check it out. And so it was actually, they had a jazz band, which was cool. Anyways, and so I decided to just like pop in. I got a mocktail. At first it was like, there was no seating whatsoever. So I was just standing there and I was like, ugh, I really just want to be able to sit. Cause also I was like so tired and exhausted and I just wanted to sit and like sip my mocktail. But finally something opened up. And so I enjoyed the live jazz and that was nice. That was really nice. And also it wasn't until like halfway through that I finally hit this realization that I was just fully at this bar by myself, because I think that's the first time I've done something like that. And I've been meaning to do something like that, but I was kind of like scared to do it because I was so overstimulated. I didn't even realize what I was doing in the moment. I kind of just went for it because I was like, I just need to go do something. And obviously there was no one to call. Oh, also Thursday night. Sorry. Let's just take a step back. Thursday night, my high school best friend and her mom were at the fair that I was at. They were like just walking around and seeing the art. And so I actually asked her if she wanted to get dinner afterwards. So we had dinner, just ate dinner, and that was about it. Anyways, point is, I was like, I am so overstimulated that I didn't realize what I was doing. So I accomplished that without even like intending to accomplish it, which was kind of funny because, yeah, and halfway through, I was kind of like, oh, right, I'm here by myself. But interesting story, I had sat down and I was like in my own little world listening to the jazz. And at some point, I hear this voice going, oh my God, I really like your dress. And I look over and this girl is talking to me and she was like, where is it from? And I was like, oh, it's from Uniqlo. And she had never heard of Uniqlo before. And so I was like, oh, it's a Japanese brand. They do have some stores here in the US, but not in Miami. But they also like, you can buy stuff online. She was like, so you bought it online? And I was like, no, I actually got the dress in Japan. And then somehow she was like, I'm going to India. Would they have Uniqlo there? And I was like, yeah, where in India? And she was like, New Delhi. And I was like, yeah, there's 3 Uniqlos in New Delhi. Don't go to this one. And I felt so, I don't know. At that point, I was like, I don't know what I sound like for knowing this information. But like, and then she like starts going into like, oh, I have a wedding. And she's very drunk. She's like extremely drunk. And she's like, I have a wedding. Like, where can I buy stuff? And I couldn't figure out, to be fair, I guess there was a little bit of a transition point, but I could not figure out whether she thought I was Indian, which like, yes, not wrong. But like, I feel like people generally don't assume that, you know, especially not in Miami, or whether she just decided to like throw it out there without even really like realizing that I might have that information. I don't know. But she was just like, so she was so drunk. Like, she, this girl was gone. Okay. And so she was asking me about like, where can she get the clothing? And I was like, I'm honestly not totally sure. Like, you can order stuff online. I think she was like trying to rent stuff in India. And I was like, I'm sure that's like something that you can do. I just don't really know. And I was like, my stuff like comes from my grandmother. But then it kind of transitioned into like, I don't know. Then we got into more like personal details. She's like, I'm from Ohio, but I live here now. And at some point she was like, I'm going to have to now explicit this, put an explicit rating on this. But she's like, aren't Miami girls such bitches? And I was like, oh, hello. I was like, what in the world? And I didn't even know how to respond to that, because it was like, I don't know, personally, I've never really had like much of an issue. I mean, yeah, obviously you have interactions, but you have that anywhere, you know, like. And I was like, also, I kind of live in like a little bubble when I'm here in Miami that I don't even really interact with people. And also she was 35, and I kind of like, I was just like, this personally, I could not really live this lifestyle at 35. But I'm not judging. I'm just kind of like, I was like, I feel like we don't really align here. And when that comment came out, I just didn't really know anymore how to interact with her, because it was just like, I'm not here to like talk bad about other people. I'm not really here for that. Like, let's all do like rainbows and butterflies and happy vibes and talk positively, you know. Anyways, so there was that. Okay, so Saturday night, instead of going home, which is like, obviously then at this point I was like, oh wow, I have more time than I thought I would. But I actually wasn't going home that night. I was going to my high school best friend's house, because we had decided that we were gonna go out, and I was sleeping over at her house. Beautiful, gorgeous. So I just Ubered over there and we had dinner. I had dinner with her entire family, which is nice. And then we had a lot of time to kill. So at some point she started already like doing her makeup like at 7 or 6 something. She got to work pretty soon after we had dinner. But then I was like, there's this one place that I really want to go to because it reminds me of when I was in high school, because I would go here sometimes. It's called Kith Treat, the Kith brand, which is a clothing brand. They have, I don't know if they have this in other places too, but they have it in 2 different locations in Miami. And one of them is really close to my high school. And I had gone there a couple of times. But basically Kith Treats is like kind of like a milkshake bar. They might also have just like ice cream, but with like cereal. Like they have like cereal, like you can put cereal in the milkshake, if that makes sense. Like that's the whole vibe. And so because I knew that I was going to be, even though it was a bit of a walk, but I knew I was going to be close enough to it that probably on one day I could walk and get my Kith treats. Like that was the one thing I wanted to accomplish that week. There was actually a couple of other things. I didn't get to any of them ultimately. And I had thought about going when I was let out early on Saturday, but then I texted her and she was like, well, we're going to have dinner pretty soon, so like leave some room. And I was like, okay, but if I have this, then I'm not going to want dinner. So I was like, okay, I should probably just go and have dinner. But then afterwards I was like, we should get a sweet treat. And I was like, we should go to Kith treats, but we did not have enough time. So as we were driving, it was like we were set to get there right as they closed, and we were like, the traffic is bad, like this is probably not gonna happen. So we decided to go to Salt and Straw instead and get some ice cream. So we did that and then basically got back and like started getting ready. We went to 2 places, both in Miami Beach, both places that I wanted to go to. One of them was called Medium Cool. It's a cocktail lounge, and it was a cool vibe, get a cocktail, like dance. I ordered, of course, a Shirley Temple, classic me. And it's a tiny space, but it was kind of nice. Like music was okay, had some moments where I was loving it, had some moments where I was like, I don't know. But we were just kind of in our own little world. She was downing the drinks and I was just watching her get more and more drunk, and I was like, ugh. Like, it's not that I can't tolerate drunk people, but I think she specifically was, it was so funny because she was like, the conversations we were having, she was like sharing the most explicit details in like the most loud fashion. I was like, okay, maybe we don't talk about this here with like all of these other people. Like, this is a little much. Like, this conversation is a little much for where we're at right now. And of course I'm like fully sober, and I'm just like, she's telling me these details and I'm like, oh my gosh, okay, thank you for sharing. She's like, I have to show you the video. And I was like, I don't need to see the video right now, please no. Anyways, so there was that. But yeah, we were just kind of dancing. We were in our own little world. But obviously I had told her like that we had this whole conversation as she was getting ready, actually, where I was talking about like my little declaration of looking for love and like how I want an organic date. And she was like, you should get onto Coffee Meets Bagel. And I was like, but I don't want to get onto another dating app. But it's so funny that you said that, because my boss, of course, we're getting very personal at this point, she met her husband on Coffee Meets Bagel. And I was like, I had never heard of that app before until very recently. I think obviously I heard it from my boss, but I think also a couple weeks weeks ago, I was talking to a friend and she was like, oh, I've been thinking about downloading Coffee Meets Bagel. And so I was like, why does this keep popping up? That's so strange because I'd never heard of the app before. Like, I just knew the trifecta, Hinge, Tinder, Bumble. Like, and I thought, I mean, I probably knew of Coffee Meets Bagel. Like, it's not like I'd never heard it before, but I just thought like Coffee Meets Bagel was more of like a millennial, like an older thing, you know, like for older people. I just thought that that was like a different generation that was on there. So I was like, surely there couldn't be anyone of interest to me. And she's like, you should download it. And I was like, okay, you know what? Give me like 3 months or so in a lot of desperation. Maybe I will actually download another dating app. But for now, I am sort of hoping to do this more organically. Like, I just don't want to meet. And the thing is, it's hard because we were like talking about all this and we're coming from two different perspectives because like I've been single for a while and she's been in a relationship for longer than I've been single by a lot. So, and like, at least she knows what it's like to be like single after a relationship because this is her second relationship. So that's good because I have other friendships where it's like either they know how to be single or they don't know how to be single whatsoever. Well, the problem is all of my other friendships, it's like either they've only ever been single or they've been single, then got into a relationship and now they've only ever been in a relationship kind of thing. Like they haven't experienced what it's like to be single after a relationship. And I feel like the experience there is so different. Like it's not the same as if you haven't been in a relationship before. And so it's difficult to talk to people who are in a relationship, I find. Even in this situation, even though she could, I guess, understand a little bit more, she still was like saying things where I was like, see, but you're just kind of like, you're just saying all this from your perspective of like being able to have someone in your life. Here I am like saying that I'm longing for someone and she's like, you should just enjoy being single. And I'm like, says the person who's been in a relationship for like 2.5 years. Yeah, easy for you to say kind of thing. And then she was like, but you know, I do realize like I'm probably taking for granted that I have someone and like he is such a big part of my life and like I couldn't imagine not having him, especially during this time period. And I'm like, so imagine how I feel. Imagine how I feel. Right? Yeah. That's what I thought. So it was kind of this weird, like she understood, but she also totally didn't understand. I think I need more friends who like are in the same situation as me, because I feel like it's so hard when you go through this kind of stuff and you try and tell it to someone who's in a very different circumstance. Not fun. Not fun whatsoever. So anyways, we went to Medium Cool and at some point she was like, I'm looking out for you. And I was like, amazing. But we're looking around and it was definitely a much older crowd. There was really no one of our own age. But at some point we kind of moved to this like area and there was like this crowd of guys and, you know, everyone's just dancing and I'm not making eye contact with any of these guys. Personally, there was one guy that I kind of had like seen and I was like, oh, that's, you know, like that could be a thought, right? Like if he were to come up to me, I wouldn't mind. But I was really like just there to be in my own world. I was doing my little dance. We were like standing like across from each other. This group was like on our side and neither of us, I think, were even looking in that direction. But at some point, the one who was closest to us kind of somehow like integrated himself into us. I don't even know how he started it, but I think he probably was like, are you guys from Miami or something like that? And so like we answer and so we start talking back and forth and of course we're like screaming into his ear and he's nice, okay? And he's like, yeah, I'm from New York, like I'm here for Basel. By the way, can I just say it was New York Central this week. I literally felt like a tourist because everyone I met was from New York and I was like, I'm not from New York, guys, like what in the world? Why is everyone, I'm like, I'm somewhere else, I'm not in the right place right now. Anyways, whatever, exchanging details. And it was funny because he was like, so where's like a good place to go out in Miami? And here we are. I mean, she's 21, I'm 22. We've just moved back home from college. Like neither of us really know too many places. Like we've gone out to like maybe like a handful of places at most here in Miami. And he's asking us for like recommendations. And we're like, we don't know. He's like, but I thought you guys live in Miami. And we were like, we just graduated college. We kept being like, we just graduated college. He was like, okay, like let me get your Instagrams. And so I gave him my Instagram. She gave him her Instagram. And then he like went off to the bathroom. And then when he came back, he was like, oh, like I found it. And then sort of like turned away again. And then the following day, that morning, you know, we were talking a little bit about the topic of like finding someone. She was like, oh my gosh, like this man, like she was like, maybe he's the one for you. Like he lives, kind of jokingly, she was like, oh, he lives in New York, like that's perfect for you, right? Because the other thing I've been joking about recently is like I need to find a New York City boyfriend because I want to take an unpaid internship in New York. But how am I going to take an unpaid internship if I'm not getting paid, right? Like, and I have to live in a city and I sustain myself there, right? So like you know, could be clutch. But anyways, point is, she was sort of joking about the fact that, oh, like, there's this guy. And then she was like, huh, like, he never told us, like, where he went to school or anything like that. And I was like, yeah, like, I was wondering, waiting for him to, like, respond or, like, tell us, like, what he did kind of thing. Like, we were waiting for some more details on him. Nothing. And then I was like, wait, we could literally stalk him. And so we did. And turns out he's a founder of a startup. And he's probably, like, in his early 30s. So he's definitely older. But we kind of were like, oh, wait, hold on. Not a bad pick, but didn't go anywhere. We just, I guess he follows me on Instagram now, so that's good, right? Maybe? I don't know. Oh, also, the German guy did message me that night, and he was like, hi, Sophia, do you have a Freiabend? And he was like, hope you, like, got home okay or something like that. And I just didn't respond because I was like, oh. And, you know, I went on my merry way, and guys, who texted me again, and the text is not cute. I didn't like that text. Okay, anyways, then we went to, at some point we left and we went to the second location, which is this club called Do Not Sit on the Furniture. Also tiny little club, but like you walk in and you just like fall into a trance. Like it's just like a haze. It's kind of what you think like a club is, like just like hazy music, lights. Instead of a disco ball, there was like a disco shark. Yeah, whole thing. It wasn't the worst, but I think both of us were kind of just like really just, I don't know how long we were there for, maybe 30 minutes, maybe an hour. No, I feel like it was like less than an hour or something like that. Anyways, point is, we just kind of were there. And then at some point, my friend was like, can we go out? And they had like this weird like outdoor section, which was like a little bit of like a market, like a little like flea market situation. So confusing. Don't ask. I don't know, but confusing. And we were like, yay. Okay, we're just sitting. People are just smoking left and right. And I was like, I'm not really vibing with this right now. And then we were like, you know what? Let's just go home. So we went home at 1 o'clock. We are literal grandmothers. But you know, that was a good thing because I still had to be up the next day for work and stuff like that last day. So went to sleep, woke up the next morning, and I actually didn't have to go in until 2. So it's weird. I got all this time like towards the end, but I wasn't expecting that. So I had time to kill. And I thought, well, you know, since last year when I went to Art Basel, I sort of told myself, like, I don't think I'm coming back. It was interesting, but I was like, okay, I saw it once. I feel like I don't need to see it again. But because I'm trying to get into the art world now, I thought it probably is a good idea to go again with a fresh perspective. And so I ended up actually going. So my friend dropped me off there and I spent the first couple hours of the day kind of walking around. It's so big. There's so much to see. I feel like there's no way to properly see it all. So I kind of started by moving slowly and like walking around and really trying to like assess everything. And then at some point I was just kind of skimming through the galleries and skimming through the art. I was like, there's just no way that I'm going to see it all. So I did that. And then there was actually, it kind of is nice that they did this, like during Miami Art Week, the city of Miami and Miami Beach had sort of these transport systems, like free transport systems in place so that you could get around a little easier. So I took like the free shuttle that they had from Basel to one of the other art fairs that was like really close to mine. So then I got off there and yeah, I dropped my stuff off. I went to pick up lunch for my boss and coffee. And then we basically had 3 hours until the fair was going to close. And on that day, my family came. So at some point I saw them and we hung out a little bit. And both of my parents talked a lot to the gallery owner. And it's so funny because when they left, she was like, wow, your dad's really concerned about you. Because I think my dad spent like half the time just asking her, like, what can Sophia do? Like, what job can Sophia get kind of thing? And like, she was like super optimistic, but I was like, no, it's not looking very good for me. So that was my dad. Thank you, Father, for that one. So all of that, and then took some pictures, and then basically at 5, the fair closed, and then it was time to deinstall and basically have to get all the paintings down and into the boxes and wrapped up and packed up and all that. Luckily, they brought all of our like packing stuff actually before the fair even closed. It was like 15 minutes before the fair closed and we were all like, wait, what? So surprised. So we got done with de-installation by 6:30, which was good because I thought I was gonna have to be there for a good while. And then afterwards she was like, oh, like, are you in a rush to get home? And I was like, no, I was gonna try and go home with my family, but it just clearly wasn't happening. And so she was like, okay, let's get dinner together. So we got dinner together. And again, we talked even more personally. Like at this point I was asking her like, do you want kids? And like kind of thing. And it was nice. Dinner was good. And then we basically said our goodbyes. days. And yeah, with that being said, I was unemployed again. And now it's been 2 days. And now I'm like, someone please give me a job. Like, I'm so holding out hope, but it's not looking very good. And I'm just like, oh, like, I just want to start my life. I just want to work. I just want a job. Like, what do I have to do besides apply? Like, can someone just want one? Anyways, I don't know. I feel like the future looks bleak for me, and I can't even imagine getting a job. I can't imagine someone offering me something. At this point, I'm like, just like part-time, anything. Like, let's start somewhere. Can't imagine it, truly. But I don't know. Like, and the other thing is, I feel like I very much was hoping and also sort of expecting for myself, like already from the very start, from the moment I graduated college, I always had this expectation that January 2025 was when everything was going to change. I was like, I don't see myself working until January 2025, but by January 2025, I will have a job, I will have moved out, whole thing, right? I was like, by then, I will really be doing something with my life. And now we are a couple of weeks away, and ask me how it's going. It's not going. Like, I couldn't even imagine being able to like experience that. I think another big thing I realized from the fair was, more likely than not, I'm going to be in Miami for a good while, because I realized I had to aim my focus on not New York, but rather just finding something in Miami. And of course, I would have loved to be in New York, but I just don't think that that's happening anytime soon. Unfortunately, I think I'm going to be in Miami for quite a bit, but I don't know. Like, I really don't know what the future holds. And I have to kind of just like sit here and wait until I guess I have another breakthrough role. And I just don't know when that's going to happen. But I will say for a fact, I am not thrilled to be unemployed again. Okay, not at all. Yesterday was kind of like, I got nothing done. I kind of thought like, oh, I'll just go straight back into like job applications, but I think I needed the day off. And today I honestly didn't do much either. I kind of had another day off because I feel like I just don't have the motivation to have to start that all over again. I have to sit through that process. I just don't want to do it. I just want something to work out. I've just been trying so hard, and I did all this networking, and I'm like, truthfully, the best way that I'm probably the only way that I'm actually going to get a job is through this networking, but I have to, I guess, be patient and see how things work out and if anything kind of follows through. But I won't know maybe for a while, you know. Obviously, the ideal situation was I walked away from all of that with another job, something lined up for the future, but like that was unrealistic and that wasn't also what happened. So, yeah, I don't know. But also, ironically, I'm actually going to New York in 2 days, and I'm going to be there for 5-ish days. I'm visiting my friend Connie, but I'm actually kind of using it to get work done too. So I will be going to the gallery and seeing it for myself, and also doing some stuff, kind of personal project that I'm working on. And I have some other snippets of that personal project that I'm working on. So that's actually kind of what I'm going to be doing on the weekdays. Thursday, Friday, Monday will very much be focused on visiting galleries, seeing some of the people that I met in the time that I was at this art fair that are based in New York and working on this project of mine. And besides that, yeah, I'm just kind of going to be existing. And I'm hoping my friend Connie has some time off from work over the weekend so we can do some stuff. I'm also planning other things. So yeah, I don't know. It's just, I'm just existing from here on out. I feel like December is busy, right? I'll be in New York, and then next week I have like half of the week that I'm here, and then the holidays, and then we go into the new year. And I think it all will be well until basically the holidays end, and then it's all gonna hit, because then I'm gonna still be in this position. And that was what I was hoping would not be the case, kind of thing, right? Like, I was hoping that I would be able to go do, but I don't think it's going and doing. I don't think I'm going and doing anything. And yeah, and that actually kind of brings me to TikTok being banned. So I feel like this is very much like a cried wolf situation where I haven't even really processed that, because do you know how many times we've had this conversation? But I recognize that there's also been like actually something that's legally happened here that states this. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I don't know. There's definitely a part of me that's like, oh, well, maybe like I recognize that if I were to try and move myself to a different platform, as I think a lot of creators will do, I basically have to start from scratch because I don't have another platform to lean onto. I guess I have my YouTube, but that's not the same. So it would have to be like Instagram, or I'm sure at some point another app comes around, but like that still takes some time. I think the idea of having to start from scratch is like my worst nightmare because it took so long for me to get to where I am. And I'm not even really that far. Like, I feel like for the amount of work I put into it, I could be a lot further down the journey than I actually am. I feel like I'm still a relatively small creator. Yes, I have a platform. Yes, people know who I am. Yes, I post my videos. Yes, I get paid for it. So cool. But like, this is a more recent thing. I didn't have this until quite recently. And just having to start from scratch, like, I just know that the social media gods would not be on my side and like helping me sort of become a bigger creator. So I'd really have to like just ride out the wave of like that very long period where nothing's happening. And then maybe, you know, at some point I start to blow up a little bit, but more likely than not, I feel like I wouldn't. And I know it's maybe wrong to do things for like the views or the follows, but I think when you get so used to having that as part of your life, it's hard not to expect that from yourself anymore. And so I feel like it would be a very discouraging process. And again, just the concept of starting again, just like I could bang my head against the wall just thinking about it, because it was so much work. It was so labor intensive. It has been so labor intensive. It's been so draining. And I really, like, I nearly crashed out at some point because of how much it took to do that. And I just don't want to do that to myself again. Like, it's fine that I did it once, but I don't want to do it again. So I honestly maybe would use that as an opportunity to just kind of fall off the face of the planet. I don't know. I mean, at this point, I'm like, what else do I have to do? Like, that feels like as good as it gets for me. Then there's also a part of me that kind of thinks about it and I'm like, honestly, maybe I should even start posting on Instagram now. Like, I should start taking my old archived, or take my archive of, what am I talking about? Take the videos that I have and start throwing them onto like an Instagram account, like a separate Instagram account from the ones that I already have. But I just don't know if I'm rocking with that. So kind of back and forth on that one. Like, is it worth it? Is it not worth it? But who knows? I guess things will become clearer over time. It'll be a loss for sure, because the problem is I've just gotten so used to having that in my life and like making my videos. I couldn't even imagine not doing that. The problem is I'm like, I feel like I would just continue. I say I wouldn't. I would use it like as a sign to just stop, but I feel like I would just continue doing it, making my videos, and at some point I would feel like I need somewhere to put that, so then I would ultimately go find a place to put that on. But I don't know. Anyways, I think only time will tell where all of this goes, and I'm sure I'll figure it out with time. It's not really like a priority, but I definitely realize people have been talking about it. People have been thinking about it. I've seen other creators talk about it, and I'm kind of like, oh, I feel like I should be bothered by that. But I admittedly haven't been bothered enough to really like try and do something. And I feel like a lot of creators actually feel that way. I feel like this time around, not that many people are talking about it. And when they do talk about it, they're just kind of like talking about it passively, where they're just like, oh, like, yeah, sure. Like, I realize this is happening and I'm kind of devastated if it does happen. But I also don't have the energy to try and like cultivate something new for everyone else to go to. Like, I feel like less people are like, go follow me on Instagram. Like, I'll be posting there now, at least from what I've seen. Anyways, yeah, that was the recap. And now I don't know what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. I mean, I guess I know what I'm going to do for the next like week and a half, but like, or week, week and a half kind of thing. But, or no, week actually. Sorry, guys. I guess I'm not there for that long. But beyond that, I will just be existing, I guess. If anyone has a job for me, please send it over. Thank you. I would really appreciate it, because I really want to work so badly. Okay. I don't want to be doing this. So, yeah. Okay. Thank you. Bye. Love you all.